many songs that will be posted over here, and anybody that's familiar with our song book can probably look pretty quick and see that these songs have to do with heaven. And that's what the topic is going to be about tonight, is our eternal abode and where we're all striving to go to when this short life here is over. Just a couple of things that I'd like to bring out real quickly. Tonight is the Super Bowl, as most of us know. Even those that aren't really football fans will find ourselves tuning into the Super Bowl. I promise to our Tennessee fans, Roy Guthrie, his quarterback, will be leading the Denver Broncos tonight, and Dave O'Neill's a Tennessee fan, and many Auburn fans in here, Shane, and the rest of you that are Auburn fans. Lanny, I promise to have you out here by the start of the fourth quarter. Okay, David? So the song, it doesn't look as bad as it is, but just to let you know that mine and Miss Linda's team won about a month ago, but I'll still be tuning in tonight. It's good to have my brother here and some others that I've invited, Pam and Ron Holcomb, fantastic people, and glad they could be here, one of my best friends. Last week, Marshall, our regular evangelist here, Marshall Reed, gave us a lesson last Sunday morning and got on quite a few of our toes. I'm not going to do that tonight. This is going to be one of those more uplifting lessons. We don't hear a lot of lessons really this day until we do, but on heaven and hell and the seriousness of hell and it's truly a place that we don't want to go. But as I said earlier, we're all striving to go to heaven. James brought us a fine lesson today on the Ethiopian eunuch and the things that are said sometimes and some things that are implied or are not implied at times. But God's given us all a good brain to work with, and he doesn't need to tell us everything, but the basic essentials to becoming a Christian are very clear in God's Word. As I said, tonight will be an uplifting sermon, and all these songs that we'll be singing tonight will be on heaven. So as we sing these songs, I want all of us to realize and to pay close attention to the words. If I were to poll the audience here tonight and say, well, why are you here tonight? Why were you here this morning? Why will you be here Wednesday night? Why are we here together every time we get the opportunity to come together? And I would get various answers, I'm sure. One of the things is, well, the most common one, we're commanded to be here. And that's very true. We're here to uplift and to encourage each other, to strengthen us as we fight against the sin that we face. Welcome, Dave. As we face the world of sin that we live in. Each day. But I'm here, and I'm here to try to go to heaven. That's where I want to go when I die. And I know there's not a person in here tonight that feels differently. But that's the reason we are here this evening. As I said, on this Super Bowl night, thousands of people have paid thousands of dollars to attend the Super Bowl. I saw where the ticket prices went down just a little bit yesterday. They're down to $3,000 a ticket. Can you imagine? Many people continue to try to buy happiness and go for the gusto in life. The problem with that is riches perish through misfortune and cannot be taken with us when we die. I'll share just a quick, brief little story here. I've been putting my wife off to get a new vehicle for some time. We went to look at a few vehicles, we started in Labor Day on that Monday I was off, and we went down and looked at some new vehicles, and then I just, you know, when we pulled out of the driveway, I said, Sherry, I need you to do just two things for me today. I said, I want you to be practical. Just be practical with me, okay? And realize that, you know, we don't want to be paying for this thing in 84 months from now, okay? And I said, you know, whatever we buy, we're gonna be driving it. So that trip didn't go too good. So it wasn't as practical as I wanted it to be. So we kind of put it off, and we've been needing a new vehicle. We started looking about three Saturdays ago, and we went up to Coleman, and we looked at some more, and we were going to, you know, buy something, and the guy took us in there in the dealership, and on the way into his office, there was a brand new truck sitting out there, Had the door open on it, Kenny. It looked good. Shiny, bright, brand new. So I said, go over and sit in it. $64,000. I said, don't sit in it no more. I jerked her by the arm and got her out of there. And the guy told me, though, he said, sir, you'd be surprised. You would be absolutely shocked and surprised at the people that will come in here and lay down $64,000 for that truck. I couldn't imagine. So a lot of people look for things in life and the gusto in life. So we broke down a couple of weeks ago, and I bought her an old, used, wore-out truck. I bought it from Clay Walter, Clay Livingston, and Corey, that white truck that they drove. But I tell you, that thing, that's all I need. It's a far cry from $64,000. So anyway, in Ecclesiastes, though, Solomon describes the problem with earthly treasures. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10, Solomon, wisest person, says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Now he who loves abundance will increase. This is also vanity. We read of stories all the time of people that hits the lottery, and they're miserable. They're miserable 5 years down the road. Matthew 6 and verse 19 through 21. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heaven is an intriguing place. It's all a place that we desire to go to. It's a subject on the minds of most Christians every day. It's truly on my mind every day. And the older you get, it's probably more on your mind. It's a subject, as I said, on the minds of most of us. Christians sing about heaven, dream about heaven, preach about heaven, and long for heaven. The Bible uses the word heaven 582 times. In 550 verses. There are many questions about heaven that cannot be answered here on this earth. However, the Bible does give some beautiful insights concerning the Christian's eternal home. What is heaven like, you might ask? It is a place. John 14 in verses 1 through 3. 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Number 212. Let's sing number 212. Sweet by and by.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Savior waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet. Bye. care for shore.
If we stay faithful, that's where we'll meet, on that beautiful shore. Heaven is also a place of untold beauty and a great city. In Revelation 21, verses 9, 10, and 11, then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Let's now sing about that great city. There is a habitation, number 227.
There is a habitation built by the
Heaven is also a spiritual place, a place where Christians can find comfort when Christ returns. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, the Bible says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a great shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." We're going to sing number 473, when he comes in glory by and by. As we sing this song, let's be thinking about when he does come in glory, and he will come in glory. Let's be thinking about if we're still alive on this earth, what will happen to us? It seems as the evil proceeds in this land, and it seems like the more people that's gotten away from God and his teachings, we know that God is a God of wrath. And we know that God, on occasions in the Bible, has gotten fed up with mankind. All we got to do is look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at the flood where he was fed up with people and the way they were doing in their sinful ways. I know there's still a lot of good people on this earth, but there's going to be a day where we'll all have to give an account. Number 473, when he comes in glory by and by.
Oh, how sweet will be to me the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes.
Heaven is also a perfect place. In Revelation 21 in verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from every eye. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can we imagine a place? I can't. Where all the people that are suffering in the world, if they're faithful, will not suffer anymore. I can't imagine a place like that. But there's no more crying. There's no more death. It's beyond my comprehension that there's a place that God's prepared for us. To those that are faithful, there's a reward at the end of this life. I can't imagine. I've had family members that suffered with various degrees and people that I love and care about, people that I've worshiped with. And those people, we know who they are. Folks, they're not suffering anymore. I can't imagine a place. But we're going to sing number 214. 214. Where there are no tears in heaven.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears. There, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend that endless day.
Can't imagine a place, no tears in heaven. Also, along with that song, I think it's got a very beautiful message in it. Number 204. Although there will be no tears and no sickness and dying, this song tells us that we'll never grow old. 204.
I have heard of a land far off, I have heard of a land.
Help me, Laura. I've sung so many songs. Bruce?
I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. Tis a beautiful home of the grow.
third verse. Time's getting away from us. But we get the gist where there's no more tears and where we'll never grow old. Heaven also has righteous inhabitants there. Revelation 22 and 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Matthew 7, verse 21, 22, and 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those who practice lawlessness. Number 489, blessed are they. Blessed are they.
Blessed are they who do his commandments. They shall claim the tree of life. Into the city they shall enter. They are victors in the strife. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they. Into the city they shall enter. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they. Blessed are they who do his commandments. They shall wear the robes of white. Unto the portals God shall lead them. They shall serve him day and night. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they. Into the city they shall enter. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they. Blessed are they who do his commandments. They shall stand before the throne into the life of joy eternal. God shall claim them for his own. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they. Into the city they shall enter. Blessed, blessed, blessed are they.
Those that make it to heaven, which I hope is everybody in the sound of my voice, will be worshiping and rejoicing and singing around the throne of God. Revelation 19 and 1 through 4. After these things, I heard a loud voice, a great multitude in heaven, saying, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing number 13. Hallelujah. We'll sing just the four verses. We will not sing the first verse a second time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. my Savior, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quickly.
Last verse of that song says, Lord, come quickly. Do we really want the Lord to come quickly? Do we want to be selfish here on this earth with the things and the material things that we're tied up in? Can we truly ask God to come quickly? Sometimes I find myself wondering that myself. Do I really want God to come quickly? As my faith grows, I can pray that prayer with more confidence that I want God to come quickly. Heaven will have no night there. Revelation 21, 23 through 25. And the city had no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. Again, can we imagine a place that has no night in it? Number 202.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the sources, darkening this land, far beyond the taking. Lies the summer land of bliss, land beyond, so fair and bright, land beyond, where is no night, summer land, God is his eye. Oh, happy summer land of bliss, beyond this land.
Well, as we've sang about heaven and this evening, I hope we've all been encouraged by the things that we've sang about and we've read in the scriptures together. You might want to ask, well, what will the saved in heaven never do? some of the things that we'll never do. We'll never drive by a cemetery. We'll never face temptation. We'll never visit a sick person. We'll never take an aspirin. We won't see any old people. And we won't shed any tears. That's comfort to me. And I know it is to you as well. Well, what will we do in heaven? We'll worship without distractions. We'll fellowship without limitations. We'll serve without exhaustion. We'll live without anxiety. And we'll rest without boredom. Are you going to be there? Am I going to be there? Not if we don't have the proper love that we need to have for God's word and for one another. Not if we don't have holiness in our lives. Not if we don't have compassion in our lives. And not if we don't have obedience in our lives. You can find love in James 1 and 2. Holiness, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Compassion, 1 John 3. Obedience, Hebrews 5. In conclusion, tonight, our goal is heaven. Remember, we read John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. A person does not have to know or understand everything in the Word of God to become a Christian. That's simply not required of us to know everything. I don't know everything in God's Word. Probably never will. Some of our elders here, they know a lot. They'll probably admit to you too, they don't know everything. God didn't require us to know everything. God's simple plan to reach heaven is to hear God's Word, Romans 10. Believe God's Word, Mark 16. Repent, Luke 13. Confess, Romans 10. Be baptized for the remission of those sins, Acts 2. And remain faithful until death, Revelation 2, verse 10. Yes, indeed. Heaven must be a beautiful place. Let's get our song books out and let's sing of that beautiful place. If anybody has a need to be baptized into Christ this evening, the waters are ready. There's people here that's willing to help you and aid you in that. If you've fallen short along life's way, like we all have from time to time, I have myself. You have an opportunity, a perfect opportunity, to make your life right before God as we sing this song right now.